听到了夸张来说一个人，然后我来给他们就我不管爱来故意宣布个病，我来耗了我来不管他并来给来给我老弟我老弟اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك نبي آله وسلم. الحمد لله. الحمد لله. Allah سبحانه وتعالى has blessed us and gathered us again for another salat of prayer. For this is indeed a blessed day in the life of the believers. Because this is that special day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has singled out and ordered the believers to leave aside all of their pursuits and come together in a jama'ah, in a group setting, so that we may encourage one another to do what is right and discourage one another doing what is wrong, and that we may be of help and assistance to one another. And this afternoon I'd like to remind myself and all of you about a most important concept in our religion and our way of life as Muslims. A concept that has many different facets to it. But nevertheless, any facet that you look at it from, it's still extremely important. It's a concept that I think that we as Muslims have misinterpreted, overlooked, and put aside. It is the concept of ijtihad. We hear it, we heard it, we use this term. More often than not, we associate it with scholars, ulama, and people that we hold in high esteem as knowledgeable people. But this concept of ijtihad pertains and is at a matter and is incumbent upon every Muslim. This concept of ijtihad is a concept of struggling, striving with one's intellect, emotions, all their resources in this context to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, understand what His guidance is, and try to implement it in our daily lives. More often than not, people associate this with Sharia, this law that we as Muslims think governs us. And we, in a sense, put blinders on. All the Sharia truly is, in its most simplest terms, is the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His guidance. Human beings have codified it, written it down, and handed it to us and saying, this is the Sharia. Sharia is dynamic. It is not something that Ibn Malik, Shafi'i or Hanbal wrote down several hundred years ago and preserved and can hand to us and we can utilize it. I think that is one of our greatest mistakes as Muslims today, that we believe that that phenomenon is truly being utilized in that way. That some people, several hundred years ago, codified our religion, wrote it down, preserved it, and that we can utilize it as it is written today. I know this probably comes as a little shock to a lot of people. Why? Why is it shocking? Because nobody said it. Everybody said it. This is the Sharia. Let's follow it. You have to follow it. The analogy is this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us eyes to see with. But we need the light of the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in this analogy, Sharia, or guidance, is the light. I don't want to use that word Sharia, that's going to get you too stuck. The guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the light. Now, if you put blinders on, you can't see, even though the lights are on. So, if you blind yourself to the guidance, you cannot be guided. On the other hand, if you don't have the light, the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have eyes, you still can't see. You need your eyes to see and the light to see. So you need these both. You need, in this analogy, the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, but what people do is put blinders on. Okay, this is the guidance. Somebody wrote it down, and verbatim, this is what it is. Doesn't work that way, because you put blinders on now. There's the light, but your blinders are on, and you can't see. You need your eyes open. What do I mean by your eyes open? We, as a ummah, as believers, have to open our eyes and analyze the guidance. Analyze the guidance. Not give up the imana, the responsibility of studying, of analyzing, of pondering. What we've done is we've abdicated that right. We've given it up, and we have declared, here are these knowledgeable people, they're going to write down all this stuff and give it to us, and now we're going to follow it. People don't do that. You know you don't do it. Nobody does that. Nobody does that. But yet still we refer to it all the time. Sharia this, this. No. Nobody's doing that. These stacked up books, the people come and take off and extract something out and throw it out at each other to put each other in check. My point is this. All of that to say this. Our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Qur'an. Is the Qur'an. That's the connection. But we don't study Qur'an anymore. We don't study Qur'an, ponder Qur'an. Therefore, we have lost the ability to extract the guidance from it. Think about this. How many of us, if we have a problem, whether it's in our marriage, in our job, in a personal relationship, family members or others, can go through the Qur'an, open up the book, and extract the guidance out of that book that will solve that problem and give us the solution? You know you don't do it. You know you can't. I've got a problem. Me and my wife are having a problem. Can I open up the Qur'an and find a solution to that problem? No. In all honesty, you know you don't do it. People don't do it anymore. You may call up the Sheikh or the Imam and maybe get some counseling. What can I do? And usually after it's too late. But that means we've lost that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's no better than being a Christian or a Jew. Because they've lost their connection. In Christianity, what they set up are intercessors. Other people who Christians believe are qualified, and the only people qualified to go to Allah. We have Quran, the revelation revealed, which is a book of guidance, and we've given it up. Call up Sheikh Jamiluddin. What do you think is the solution? Not to say that we don't use those people, but the concept of this jihad is yourself struggling. Yourself. You yourself studying that book, pondering it, so that you are familiar enough with the book and the guidance therein to guide yourself. And if you need a supplement, call and discuss it with someone who is more knowledgeable than you. But we don't go those steps. First thing we do is call somebody up and ask them. Because we are not in a position, knowledgeable, we are not in a position, when the problem comes, to open it up. Because we haven't already done the work. See, the work is studying Quran all the time, every day, pondering it, so that when the problem comes, you know where to go to. So, I read this in the Quran, it said this, okay, ensure this, I get this, let me study that again, let me go over that again, now I see things clearer. You can find it in the book. That's why I'm thinking about this when we're all students. You can study for the test. When the test comes, even if it's an open book test, you can't find the answer. Why couldn't we find the answer? Because the pressure was on, you know the answer to the book, and you're patient back and forth. And I still failed the test. Why? Because when the test comes, you have to have already done the work. You have to have already studied the book, thought about it, and okay, I know what that is. Okay, that's in Surah Hadid, Ayah 22 and 23. Oh, I have an issue with, oh, that's where it is. Let me remind myself of that from the words of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. I'm reading, I'm studying, I'm going to ponder it up. Here's the solution. That's the solution. But we are disconnected ourselves, and that is why we are in the state that we are in today. All of us, the lot of us. This ummah, we call this ummah of what? Billion people. It's clear, it's evident, beyond the shadow of a doubt. Collectively, we have no guidance. Because if we had guidance, we would not witness every day atrocity, abominable acts by so-called Muslims. I say we are part of this. How could somebody do something like that? The answer is because they have no guidance. Even if they believe they have the example, could any person with guidance take a bomb and blow up a mosque, blow up some people standing in line, rape another person? Even if the government said to do so. Now we got all these cops, now we don't just beat the crap out of them. We see that it's ubiquitous over the so-called Muslim world. And for many of you who come from that world and come here, and still have connections, you know that it still goes on here. The question has to be, when you come out of that matrix, wherever you came from, and you know what goes on where you came from, what kind of guidance did I get from that society? What kind of guidance did I get growing up in that so-called Muslim society? The answer has to be none. So now you bring it here and you establish misogynies. And then we see the same results. Every mosque that I've ever been associated with, in exception, Lord's wisdom put together the package so they could do anything together. So they'd split up this group here. I know mosques that have been multiple splinters. Starting here, they broke up, started a place, they broke up, started a place. You all know. You know your witness is done. The question has to be, ask ourselves, what's missing in the equation? Our direct connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gotten us. It's settled, been settled, broken. I read that 1,000 years ago, someone wrote the books of Ijtihad are closed. We've gone over everything in the Quran and all the hadith, they're all written down. We've discussed it and talked about it, and there's nothing else to learn. So they what? They said, the books of Ijtihad are closed. That is the beginning of the end of our connection with the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all but a precious few bought what they sold. And who sold it to us? The so-called knowledgeable people. Before they got to that point, though, check back in the history. Before they even got to that point, they fought and killed each other over meaningless things. Is the Quran created or revealed? You know your history? They murdered the Nabi. People who disagreed with him when he said, well, I can amalgamate school of thought. I can take them and mix them and match them. What? No. If you are following the Imam Malik, you help to just his. How crazy that is. But we bought what they sold, and we are the result of it today. So I stand before you today, one who was converted to Islam, one who left a corrupted religion and came to another religion to find the same corruption. And I say, I didn't need Christianity to come to Islam to adopt intercessors that will stand between me and my Lord and understand and knowing what that connection is between myself and my Lord. And I say to you, don't let yourself be in that situation either. We have the book. In fact, we have more information on Islam than has ever existed ever. Internet, books. Think about this. 500 years ago, how many people had a book in their house? Had an actual Quran in their house. 500 years ago, people didn't have books. Even if you went into a mosque, look at all these books. All these Qurans, they didn't have that. We have it. But we're so busy trying to collect some dunya that we don't have any time for it anymore. So we lost the connection and we're suffering the consequences every day. Everything. I know this is hard on the ears, hard on the heart, hard on the brain, but I said it. I said it because I don't care whether people accept me or reject me. I don't care if I never give a khutbah at any other place. I'm at that stage of my life. I don't care. So I'm free to say whatever's in my heart and my mind. And for whatever reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me the platform to do so. Like it or not like it. The message today, the advice is, we have the solution at hand. Everyone has the Quran in their house. It might be a little dusty, but take it off the shelf and blow the dust off
and start anew today. It's a struggle. It's difficult to read Quran and understand it. I deal with this. I've been doing it for 36 years. And when I first opened it up, my first translation of Quran by a man named A.J. Arthur, an Orientalist out of Egypt. It had no notes, no commentary. It had British English. It seemed like every other word I had to circle right down and couldn't even find the definition in the Western Collegiate Dictionary. I had to go to El Camino College to the unabridged dictionary to find the meaning of the word. But that is that's the struggle. Are we willing to put forth the effort in the struggle so that we may become free, emancipated, liberated from our ignorance? That's the question. We all have it there. We're free. Free. Leave this masjid, go home, pick up our Quran, and make a new dedication and promise to ourselves and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I am going to start studying Quran every day. Whatever amount of time. You say to yourself, just 20 minutes a day. Don't say I'm studying 5 hours. You're not going to be able to do it. 10 minutes. 20 minutes every day. Just 20 minutes. Open it up. Engage in the issue again, because we lost it. We become disconnected. And I'm here to say we can reconnect ourselves. That is the start and the beginning of a solution to our ills. Like a patient comes into the doctor, please move up here, people in the back there. Come on, come on. A patient walks into the doctor and has multiple illnesses. Doctor takes the most serious one and addresses it and says, all right, well, you got to stop eating this, you should start eating that, you got to do this. It's a beginning, and a person who has a chronic illness is not going to get well in a week, a month. It may take years of changing the bad habits that cause this illness in order for them to get well. Diabetes, all of those things are diabetes. Those are things because of our lifestyle. So as a doctor would say, here's the prescription to start with. And once you start on that ijtihad, other doors will open up. The guidance will become clearer. You will find more resources. You will find people on the same path. You will come together and say, let's study together. Let's discuss this subject, this ayah. And your knowledge and clarity will expand. And you will transform yourself. You will become a beacon and a light for those around you. And people will see your light and know that you are guided and want to join you. Nobody wants to be in the dark. That's my message. My reminder to myself and to all of you today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on me and all of us. May God and all of us closer to God. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو أعلى كل شيء قدير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك نبيك محمد. In conclusion, my beloved brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted us, any person, any human being who
who have knowledge that the Quran even exists, and even more so when they've held it in their hand, and have the biology, the intelligence, the ability to read it. Blessed is gifted beyond measure. So many that no human being could even list them. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you try to count his ni'mah, you could never do it. Ni'mah is singular, brothers and sisters. So ponder on that for a while. Ni'mah is singular. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you try to count his ni'mah, you could never count it. I'll leave that one alone. That one requires one to ponder it. Something singular that you can't count. Moving right along. So many gifts. So many. That we can't count. That reside in that book of God. Just sharing, my sister and I on the way over here, just one meal. In Quran, in conclusion, it says, when a thought from shaitan attacks your mind or comes into your mind, seek refuge in Allah, and behold, you will think correctly. That's a gift. That's a gift. Those that don't know that, don't know that. And when you understand the way your thought processes work, everything is based upon thought patterns. Now, let's take a little, something just happened. Man got mad at his family, went and shot a whole bunch of people. I guarantee this man did not have one thought, vital thought, about doing what he did and what he did. No. This man had lots of vital thoughts. So it became a thought pattern, but he did not have the gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. It says, when that bad thought comes into your mind, interrupted by saying, oh Allah, I seek protection from you from this bad thought. Now you've interrupted the thought pattern, and then we go into the next gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. SubhanAllah. Alhamdulillah. La ilaha illallah wa ta'ala. See that? That gift. Two gifts. Only two. That just will eliminate a believer from doing something crazy like that. Because we understand the gift and we utilize it. Interruption of a bad thought pattern and replacing it by something much better. Do you understand what I'm saying? The gift. The guidance is in the book. It's in our everyday practical life that will save us from being like the people with no guidance. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have mercy on me and all of us. And God has called ever closer to his guiding life. Oh, Allah, have mercy on us. Forgive us our sins and evil deeds. Administer, Lord, into your mercy and your forgiveness on our dying day and the day of judgment. Save us all, Allah, from the fires of hell and the agony of the grave and from vanity, arrogance, enviousness, jealousy, and selfishness among ourselves. O Allah, so order that we may be grateful for the gifts and the blessings which you have bestowed upon us and our families, and that we may work righteousness that will please you and admit us, O Lord, by your rahmah to the ranks of your righteous servants. And O Allah, please unite us and all of our family members.